Part of living the Christ-centered life means sharing Christ with others. All Christians know this, but for many, telling others about Jesus is probably the hardest part of living this life of faith. So how do we do it? How do we share Christ with others? And more importantly, how do we do so effectively in ways which will actually make a difference in their lives? In Paul's final teaching in the book of Colossians, he gives us three practical lessons which will help us in this vital area of our faith. He says we are to pray for opportunities to share the gospel, we are to live our lives in light of the gospel, and we are to guard our speech for the sake of the gospel. So the first point is to pray for opportunities to share the gospel. When it comes to sharing the gospel with others, it always begins with prayer. And Paul tells us three things about prayer in these verses. He said we should devote ourselves to prayer, we should be watchful, and we should be thankful. The word devote in verse 2 means to continue in something and to give it steadfast attention, to persevere, to hold fast, and to not let go. We find the same phrase in Acts chapter 1 verse 14, where we read that the apostles all joined together constantly in prayer. We often say that we're too busy to pray, but the Bible tells us we should be busy with prayer. Be persistent. Make prayer a regular part of your daily life. Prayer should be one of those habits which just becomes part of who we are. We should not only be devoted to prayer, but we should be watchful in our prayers. That means to be awake, to be alert or vigilant. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says something very similar. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And Paul is not so much talking about wakefulness here, but watchfulness. About being alert, about being watchful over our own life of prayer. Watching over the people around us in prayer. Being alert to opportunities as to how your life affects your witness. And he goes on to say we should be thankful. This is the seventh time in these four chapters in Colossians that Paul mentions thankfulness. Thanksgiving is essential to keep prayer fresh and alive and to staying alert. Thanking God for who he is and for what he has done for us should come naturally. And at the same time, we mustn't forget where Paul was when he wrote this letter. He was in prison. And if he could remember to be thankful in prison, how much more should we be thankful in our prayers? We should be persistent, we should be watchful and thankful in our prayers. He continues by teaching us to pray that God will open doors for the message of Christ. Now, what does that mean? Colossians 4 verse 3 says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul prayed for the Colossians in chapter 1. If you go back and read at the beginning, he prayed for them, and now he asks them to pray for him. Remember again that Paul is in prison. There are all kinds of things that he could have asked for prayer for. He could have prayed for comfort. He could have prayed for food. He could have prayed for his release. But what does he pray for? He asks them to pray for an open door for the gospel. He asks them to pray that God would give him further opportunities to share the good news. Paul would rather have an open door for the gospel than an open door of his jail cell. This is a vitally important prayer because God is the one who opens and closes doors of opportunity in this life. By all means, pray for your daily needs. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Pray for those that you love. But don't forget to pray that God would open doors for you to give you opportunities to share the good news of the gospel. Here, Paul calls this message of the gospel the mystery of Christ. You remember we looked at this a few weeks ago. In chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, Paul says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. That's us. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, it is all about the gospel. If we are going to live a Christ-centered life, the gospel is a Christ-centered message. To preach the gospel is to preach Christ. If there is no Christ in your words, there is no gospel. Because the gospel is all about who Christ is and what he has done for us. Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of God who died on the cross for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. It really is that simple. Paul says he is in chains for the gospel. He is in prison because he was sharing the gospel. And yet here he is praying for more opportunities to do the thing which sent him to prison in the first place. Later on, he would be in prison again. And he would write these words in 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Paul cared more for the spread of the gospel than he did for his own well-being. And so he tells us to pray that God will open doors for the message of Christ. We won't necessarily be locked up for our faith, but we should be praying for opportunities to share. We should have the same kind of passion for the gospel that Paul had. He goes on to say that we should pray that we would proclaim the message clearly. Colossians 4 verse 4. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. He says something very similar in Ephesians 6, 19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. The importance of this prayer cannot be overemphasized. There is only one gospel, and it is this gospel we should be proclaiming, and proclaiming it clearly. When you hear churches and their preachers saying that God just wants you to be happy and to live your best life now, they are preaching a false gospel. When you hear them say that we all make mistakes and God just loves you and not to worry, everything will be just fine, they are preaching a false gospel. Paul said it is necessary to proclaim the gospel clearly. This is in contrast to the false teachers in the church of Colossae in his day and the false teachers who still infiltrate the Christian church today. We are to make the word of God clear and plain with those with whom we share the truth of God. We are sinners in need of salvation. And salvation only comes through the atoning blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Confess, repent, believe, turn to him for grace and mercy, and you will be saved. That is our message. That is our only message, to preach Christ crucified. The amazing thing about these prayer requests which Paul made while in prison was that we've seen them being answered, both in his life and in the history of the church ever since. At the end of the book of Acts, it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented home and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to have opportunities to share the gospel with others, it begins with prayer. Committed, faithful, and devoted prayer. We are to devote ourselves to prayer. Pray for open doors for the gospel. Pray for a clarity in sharing the gospel. That's the first step in sharing the message of Jesus with others effectively. It starts with prayer. Secondly, Paul says we should live our lives in light of the gospel. Verse 5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Christians often feel awkward in a crowd of non-believing friends. So Paul here gives us some general principles of Christian conduct, especially when it comes to how we relate to non-Christians. Verse 5 teaches us two things about living our lives in the light of the gospel. We should be wise in the way that we act toward outsiders, and we should make the most of every opportunity. Firstly, be wise in how we react towards outsiders. Outsiders in this context, in this verse, refers to non-believers, to non-Christians. People still outside the Christian faith. Our walk needs to match our talk. Because rightly or wrongly, people will judge our talk by our walk. It's been said before that our lives are often the only translation of the Bible that some people will ever read. The question is it a good translation? In Ephesians 5:15, Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And this takes us back a couple of weeks when we were in chapter 3. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Living wisely presents a gospel which is attractive to people around us. Paul writes in Titus 2 verse 10, we need to show that we can be fully trusted so that in every way we will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. When people are turned off to the message of Christ, it's not because of him, it's because of us. Don't underestimate how your reputation can impact people's receptivity to the gospel. We should be living godly and upright lives. This doesn't mean we are to be perfect. It certainly doesn't mean we should be holier than thou. But we should be people of integrity, people whose word can be trusted. We should be treating people with courtesy and with respect. Take the initiative in rebuilding fractured relationships, regardless of who is at fault. Because these are the kind of things which non-believers will notice. Reciting scripture to them and telling them all about what you've been doing in the church, that doesn't impress people. Be authentic in the way that you treat them. Those are the things which they notice. We need to be wise in the way that we act towards outsiders, so that we don't present any obstacle to them when it comes to presenting the gospel. Paul says something so important in Colossians 1:21. He reminded his readers that there was a time when the Colossians themselves were outsiders. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. We must remember that. We were once outside the Christian faith too. Everyone on the inside was once on the outside. Don't forget what God saved you from. And don't lose sight of those who still need Christ. Be wise in how you act toward outsiders. Paul then says we should make the most of every opportunity. Verse 5 again. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5 from verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We have to begin to understand the urgency of the hour. Sometimes we live as if this life is all there is. But the truth is that our time here is limited. And when we begin to understand that, it will help us to live wisely. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We have limited time. We need to redeem that time, the time that we do have, making the most of every opportunity. That's the second step towards sharing Christ with others effectively. Live your light in the light of the gospel. Remember what God has done for you. Thirdly, we are to guard our speech for the sake of the gospel. We've looked at Colossians 3:17 a number of times over the past few weeks. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 4 verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When our conversation is full of grace, the words which come out of our mouths are to be purposeful. They're to be edifying, loving, thoughtful, and kind. And of course, our model here is Jesus. We're told at the beginning of his public ministry in Luke 4:22, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. The reality is that there is power in our words. Power to either build up or to break down. And this is a lesson we've all learned the hard way. There are many things which I desperately wish I could unsay. David wrote in Psalm 141, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Paul says our words must be seasoned with salt. Now, what does salt do? It preserves and it adds flavor. Our speech should be wholesome and attractive. We should guard against corruption, and we, our words must be attractive and appealing to others. That's what will draw people to Christ. We see a similar instruction in Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's so important that we guard what we say. How do we guard our speech for the sake of the gospel? By making a conscious decision to make our conversation always full of grace. Let your words be seasoned with salt, that is wholesome and attractive. And the reason for all of this is at the end of Ephesians 4 verse 6, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Christians struggle with this idea that we have to have all the answers. We have to be experts on what Paul wrote, and we need to be Greek students and Hebrew students. We should have all the answers to all the questions. We're never called to be that. We are called to season our words with grace. This is one of the main reasons why we are to guard our speech, so that when the opportunity does come to share the story of Jesus Christ, we'll be ready and prepared. Not in order to be able to recite scripture, but it's about walking in step with the Spirit. Then our words and deeds will have the opportunity to say the right thing at the right time with each person that God brings our way. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says much the same thing. In your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen and he has appointed normal people like us and the Colossians to be part of his church. And we are privileged and we are blessed to be part of this mission to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. Paul concludes his letter by specifically naming several of his partners in this mission. Now, why does he do this? Because we too need to be part of a team when it comes to doing God's work. When we work together as the body of Christ, we provide encouragement, support, and accountability to each other. Don't just come along on a Sunday for an hour. Get involved in the life and the witness of the church. There are so many different areas to get involved in, so many different ministries. Share the hope that you have with those who are lost, those that have no hope. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You cannot live the Christ-centered life on your own. We are in this together. If we don't pray for opportunities to share the gospel, if we don't live our lives in the light of the gospel, and if we don't guard our speech for the sake of the gospel, we are going to miss out on opportunities to share the hope of Christ with others. We are on a mission in this world. Living the Christ-centered life means sharing him with others. Paul ends his letter to the Colossian church by saying, "Grace be with you." And that's one thing about Paul. When you read his letters, he never tired of proclaiming God's amazing grace in sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That was the nutshell of the gospel, and that's what he always shared with people. We preach Christ crucified, as he said in 1 Corinthians 1:23. He began his letter with these words, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." And he ends it with a final benediction, "Grace be with you." Don't worry about reciting scripture. Tell people about the grace and the mercy of God. The letter of Colossians begins and it ends with grace. A lifelong walk with Jesus Christ and sharing the hope that we have in him begins and it ends with grace. So shall we pray? Father, it's a daunting task when we think about it, that you have called us to be part of the life and the witness of your church. We thank you for the example of people like Paul, the other apostles, and countless disciples throughout the history of the church. People who have shared the love of Christ boldly and clearly, And whether it's just with a kind word or a gesture, helping somebody in need, Lord, you give us those opportunities each day. May we not miss them. May we seek opportunities to be faithful disciples of Christ and powerful witnesses of your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the gospel which we proclaim. We pray, Lord, that you would give us clarity in our minds to understand this truth and to share it with joy, to share the message of hope with those who still have no hope. Season our conversation with salt, Lord. Teach us to speak grace and love to those who desperately need to know that there is hope to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. We ask these things in his name. Amen.